Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. It is, well, he's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And the Lions are going to the NFC title game.
Yeah, sounds like somebody did some screaming yesterday.
Maybe a little bit. I'm trying to figure out how I can flip schedules for next week so we can, like, do, like, some sort of NFC title game get-together or something.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm just saying, if the Lions are playing and the Lions are end up going to the Super Bowl, I don't want to be working while that's going on. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's going to be something else. At the store where I work at, we had a special delivery from UPS that our receiver had to sign for. We're pretty sure that those are the Lions NFC Championship T-shirts.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we'll find out. They still have to get through 49ers, so we shouldn't be celebrating just yet. But, wow. I mean, they were able to take care of Tampa.
And they beat they were favored by 6.5, and they ended up winning by 8.
Not too shabby.
I'm happy with it. You beat the odds. I'm thrilled with it. Like,
they were able to close off Tampa when they go for that 2-point conversion.
That was great. That could have been a problem, and as it turns out, that really kind of screwed them over.
Mm-hmm.
End up missing that, and well, great. Now you have to go for 2 just to stay in it at the end.
Yep.
Not brilliant game planning on the part of Todd Bowles there, and then better yet, the interception, Derek Barnes.
Yes.
I think with his first interception of the year, that one.
Oh, everybody's TV just shook as loud as Ford Field was getting.
Oh, God. I'm pretty sure you could feel an earthquake in downtown Detroit,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
That was great. Great to see that. I mean, it's been, like, Derek Barnes has not exactly had a easy time of it, but his first, I'm trying to see, I believe it's his first of the year, but no, first career interception for him.
What a way to break his cherry, huh?
Right? Like, that couldn't be any more of a clutch, big-time play at a better time than that.
Right. Wow.
You got to be pretty happy about that. And it's rather, you've seen some interesting things we're going to have to talk about here in a little bit. Some roster moves being made.
Oh, yeah?
But right now, I just want to bask in the afterglow, man. Like, you're in the NFC title game for the first time since 1992, only the second time ever. Like, enjoy it. Live
yes.
it up.
Yeah, this is going to be good. And as tenacious as the Lions have been, I know the Niners are favored. I know we're going to be going to San Francisco for this.
Yeah.
It's still going to be a good game. You're walking into this thinking, "Oh, it's not dead man walking. Here, let's just get this over with, lose and get, you know." I think the Lions got a legitimate shot here.
Well, how much does the game Saturday night play into that?
Which
the Green Bay game. San Fran playing Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And almost losing to Green Bay.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I can't remember what the score was on that. I didn't really
21 to they were up 21-17. I think San Fran came back to win 24-21.
Green Bay, we haven't seen the last of Green Bay. I mean, they're a young team. Jordan Love is going to find his rhythm, and they're going to be a tough team in the NFC North. But as of right now, they're still green behind the gills. Green, I don't know, wet behind the ears, whatever.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that here, that wet behind the gills. And
that
so,
too.
So the Lions are taking advantage of every opportunity, and they've just been looking good. I mean, it was a good game all the way around because Tampa wasn't no slouch. They didn't lay down and show their belly. They played hard.
They really truly did. Like, anyone who thought Tampa Bay was going to be like dispatched like 40 something to 10, like, you guys just don't know football. Like, that was never a real possibility. The fact that you beat them by 8 is impressive in and of itself.
I can't remember what for the picks what kind of spread I gave them, but I think I gave them more than 8.
Was it more than 8?
I believe so.
Well, let me look that up for you.
Baker Mayfield saying a lot of positive things about the Lions.
He gave by 9.
9, okay. So Lions and the Lions faithful. So, you know, good on him. He was a he wasn't a sore loser by any way. That was good to see. But you know he's not going away.
That dude basically saved his career this year with Tampa Bay. Like, if this didn't work out, remember he came in competing with Kyle Trask for the starting gig, the rookie.
Uh huh.
And this was probably his last stop if he didn't manage to impress here, at least his last stop as a starter.
I think he proved himself.
I would say so.
I mean, I'm not the GM or the coach for
Tampa Bay
Buccaneers. So
you're not?
No, I'm not. Believe it or not, I turned down the gig.
I mean,
it was in Florida. Come on, man.
I mean, that's fair. I'll grant you that.
Yeah. Andy Reid called me up. What are you, crazy?
And no, he was absolutely right to tell you that. We'll get into a couple of the roster moves and things coming up here in just a moment. It is Happy Hour, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. The Gaslight Anthem at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Now, I'm not looking to get into a bunch of panicking yet about next week's game, but it's already been reported that Jonah Jackson is expected to miss the game against San Fran. He could still return this season, by which we all know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But he underwent surgery for a slight meniscus tear and is expected to miss the game this coming Sunday.
Torn meniscus, he's out.
Yeah.
That's
a hard one to come right back from.
Yeah, that's a couple months.
Well, apparently not if they're saying he might still play if they make it to the Super Bowl.
Isn't that what Aaron Rodgers went through?
No, his was an ACL.
ACL, okay.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of because, I mean, I know. Okay, all right. So Paul Stanley from Kiss, he tore a meniscus right before the reunion tour back in the 90s, and he was out for a little while. But, I mean, he was able to come back, obviously.
You got to love, by the way, how this man manages to...
it's a lot like Kiss.
Relate everything back to Kiss.
Yep.
No, the ACL is a whole different thing. I mean, it is a major thing in the knee, but, like, meniscus is not quite as bad of a thing. Like, that you could still theoretically, it's a shorter recovery time, certainly.
Gotcha.
Like, no, if it were ACL, he'd be done for the year and a good chunk of next year.
Yes. No, I mean, coming back so soon, if...
For a Super Bowl, though.
Don't say that word. You're going to jinx him. But, I mean, if they were able to come back to that game, I mean, you're still talking a couple weeks, so he could probably nurse it. And
well, yeah, because it's still 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't sound like there's any similar concerns for Frank Ragnow. He's going to play. And that's the one I was more concerned about. Like, if he goes down, like, you're losing the best center in the NFL. Like, it's very rare this season that this team has, that O-line has all played together. And when they do, they've only lost once.
Yep.
So, I mean, you really need
him. I didn't even see him Ragnow go down.
Yeah, it looked pretty ugly for a minute, but thankfully he ended up coming back in the game, and it's expected there's not going to be any issues for Sunday. This I found interesting, though. The Lions did make a signing to replace their injured tight end, James Mitchell. They done signed a Pro Bowler. They done signed Zach Ertz.
I thought there would have been like a kind of like a cutoff point where you can't bring in anybody new.
Well, no, because injuries do still happen, but like he was a free agent though.
Right.
Like there was nobody.
Kind of like in hockey where there's the trade deadline. After that, you can't sign anybody, bring anybody in. I mean, I think you could do call ups, but I mean, and injuries definitely happen in that sport. We found that out.
Oh, yeah, don't we know it? But I mean, yeah, you had so many things go wrong. Sam Laporta's been playing through a hyperextended knee. James Mitchell is now on injured reserve after suffering a hand injury in practice. He's done for the year. And then Brock Wright broke his forearm.
Oh, man. Wow.
I mean, I don't imagine that. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to work Zach Ertz in that quickly. I mean, you're talking, I mean, the NFC title game, like to learn the playbook and have the impact that you want him to have. But he's also played in 151 NFL games over his career. He's seen a lot. He's done a lot. And he's already worked alongside their current tight ends coach as well.
All right.
Steve Heiden worked in that position for the Cardinals when Zach Ertz was there.
Okay.
And he's played in the Super Bowl. He's played in 8 career playoff games. So there's at least some familiarity on a lot of levels. Now, that said, his blocking ability not great? But, I mean, basically, Dan Skipper's been your extra blocker lately, and Ertz can still catch passes with the best of them. Had 400-plus yards in 10 games this season, which is better than pretty much every tight end not named Laporta on this roster currently combined.
Right.
You can't be mad about it.
No. Just keep everybody healthy.
Yeah.
As much as possible. Starting now.
Yeah, that would be great. If we could just keep everyone healthy going forward here, that would be fantastic. Wouldn't complain about that too much. Here's Pally Royale at Solid State Radio. The Chili Peppers, your local alternative, is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I know we've been very much in, like, celebratory. You know, the Lions are going to the NFC title game. You're 60 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl mode today.
Stop saying that word.
Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. You're do something about it.
Jinxing us.
Pretty sure you can't jinx it just by saying the words, Adam. We're literally in the NFC title game.
You would be the guy at a hockey game going, wow, that's a nice shutout the goalie's got going on. Look at that shutout. That means he didn't let any goals, so that's a shutout.
No, no. That's me at a baseball game with a no-hitter's going on. That's a really nice no-hitter you got going there. Now, Grant, I always do it to the opposing team.
Yeah, yeah, that's a nice survival tip. Don't do that for the home team.
There's one hell of a no-hitter that Tariq Skubal's got going on right now. Let me tell you. Hell of a no-hitter there.
It was a Galarraga with Jim Joyce.
Right.
There's Sean in the front row. Man, that's a big no-hitter going, that's a perfect game going, nothing's going to screw this up.
I still have his jersey somewhere. At one point, I really thought he was going to be something after that. The perfect game that, quite frankly, in my record, is still a perfect game, much like that game against Dallas was a win.
Yes.
But, that didn't pan out quite the way I hoped it would.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Shall we hockey?
We shall hockey.
Let's do that hockey then. Hockey town! 7-1-1 in the new year.
Yep, the Wings are looking good. Apparently it was Detroit versus Tampa yesterday.
It sure was.
And Detroit came out victorious both in football and in the NHL.
Yep, Alex Lyon. Look at him getting it done. Only gave up one goal. Are we now officially, is that the first game that they've won with a score of less than?
No, there's been another one, but it was nice to see them play a tight game all the way around. Going into the third period, the Wings were out shooting Tampa 3-1. This is the kind of team you want.
It's the thing we've complained about for years that they're actually finally doing.
Yeah, Alex Lyon, it's his gig. It's his gig until he decides otherwise with a poor play or an injury or whatever. But Alex Lyon, 27 saves for a .964 save percentage. Vlasky still do. I mean, no slouch.
Well, Vasilevsky is still the best goalie in the league till proven otherwise. Yep. Okay, it is, however, it's not their first with three or fewer, but it is their first game they've won this season with two or fewer goals.
Nice.
And how about that stat?
And against a strong team like Tampa Bay, Daniel Sprong getting the first star of the game with his goal. He finished the night with a +1.
My, Daniel Sprong, if that's not the best signing, free agent signing.
Yep.
That Stevie has made this offseason, I don't know who is.
You're getting a lot from this cat. And 12 goals so far, making it the game winner last night. And, yeah, here's a guy who just, he punches in and then goes to work. I mean, this is the kind of guy you want on your team. Lucas Raymond.
Fifth most goals on the team.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
Fourth most points.
Yep. Lucas Raymond with his 13th of the season. A lot of people want to see him traded ASAP, and I don't know why. He's got 13 goals on the season.
Well, A, those people are idiots.
Yes, yeah.
And B, you know how overreactionary this fan base is.
Oh, my God,
The second anyone, you know, isn't playing at an all-star caliber level, trade him. Trade him out of town. But here's the wonderful thing about fan logic.
Sure.
Like, 90% of the time when they're calling for a guy to be traded, it's when they're at their lowest value and they're not playing worth a damn.
Yeah. Yeah, and they think they're going to get top dollar for
like
him.
Now would probably be the time to sell on him, but also I don't want to sell on Lucas Raymond. I want him to be here for the long haul. And I think he will be good here for the long haul.
And he will. I mean, the guy could get, you know, MVP of the playoffs or the Stanley Cup Finals and be like, oh, we need to trade him. But, you know.
The trade value will never be higher than it is right now.
Yeah, I got to get rid of him. Yeah, so, I mean.
Get Lucas Raymond out of town and get me pictures of Spider-Man. Apparently.
Get me pictures of Spider-Man. 7-1-1. I mean, this team is, it's gone past a hot streak. They are officially rolling.
They absolutely are. And it's great to see because we were very much questioning for a while there in the midst of that losing skid they had, whether this team was going to get blown up again like they did last year after the Ottawa game.
Yep. Well, hopefully they do okay against Ottawa on the 31st because we're going to be there.
Right?
Going on a field trip.
Yeah, little happy hour field trip down to Detroit.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
My first game at LCA.
Oh, really? You've never been?
I've never been to LCA.
I thought you went there for a Pistons game.
Okay, I've been to a Pistons game. My first Wings game at LCA.
Oh, I was going to say. So the Stars coming to town tomorrow. Stars are 27-13-6, so that's going to be a little bit of a competition. But right now, I think the Wings could beat anybody in the NHL. The way they're playing right now, they're playing as a team. They're mucking it up. They're getting things done.
Yeah, like there's not too many teams I say right now that you can't beat them. I mean, you've beaten Toronto, and they are right now. I mean,
Sheldon Keefe, he is on the hot seat.
Which is funny to say about a team that is currently in a playoff spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to talk about reactionary fan base.
They don't get more reactionary than Toronto. That's for sure.
They want him jettisoned. But yeah, I mean, the Wings beat them. The Wings beat L.A., which I guess I didn't realize. Was that also when the Lions were taking on the L.A. Chargers? So yeah, once again, we had...
Same day. Yeah, well, good thing San Francisco doesn't have an NHL team.
What's the closest to them? San Jose? I don't know. I don't know why California geography.
Yeah, it would be San Jose. Are they playing San Jose this Sunday? That would be hilarious if they were.
They are not. They got Dallas coming to town. They're going into Philly on Thursday. Excuse me. Philly's coming to town. Vegas is coming to town on Saturday the 27th and Wednesday the 31st against Ottawa. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
But when you look at all of the teams that are currently ahead of the Wings in the at least in the Atlantic Division,
sure,
Detroit's beaten all of them. I mean, the long-standing joke was early on in the season, like Boston hasn't lost in regulation except to Detroit.
Yeah,
we just beat Florida the other day. We just beat Toronto the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can say the same for the teams ahead of us in the Metro, which would be the
Metro stuff.
The Rangers, Philly, and Carolina, have we beaten any of those teams yet this season? I don't believe we have.
I don't know, but yeah. Will somebody remind Philadelphia they're supposed to be trash?
Okay, we have beaten the Flyers. We beat them twice, as a matter of fact. Have we?
Okay.
Yeah, and both of them were last month.
Okay.
Looking to see the Rangers. I don't believe we've beaten them yet. So we've beaten four of the six teams that are ahead of us in the Eastern Conference standings.
That just shows
we can hang with anybody.
Yeah. So that is good. Good to see a very tenacious team. Now, do we want to talk about the Islanders now, or do we want to talk about the Islanders later?
Let's talk about the Islanders next.
Okay.
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. The Sundays at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we'll get to Patrick Waugh later. I swear we will. But I thought this was interesting. There has been some suggestions for trade proposals over at The Athletic. Who says no evaluating trade proposals for, among others, Trevor Zegras? Because it's widely expected Trevor Zegras is not going to be with the Ducks beyond the trade deadline this year.
And trade deadline is March 8th, Nespa?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's been the long held theory here is that, oh, he's gone. They're going to get rid of him. Yeah. And if that is, everyone clearly wants him.
Oh,
and
he's a fantastic player.
I mean, his skill set is certainly at a very high level, but, you know, there are some issues there that I'm not particularly fond of with him. But there's a couple suggestions that were made. A Boston trade for Jeremy Swayman, Fabian Lizell in a second, Zegras to Nashville for Yaroslav Askarov. That's not going to happen. That's ridiculous.
No.
Like, obviously, Gibson is already there. He is their goalie for right now. Like, he's going to be their guy until Lucas Dostal is ready.
Yeah.
But what I didn't understand is, like, why would they be acquiring more goaltending, and why in the hell would Nashville give up Askarov?
Yeah, Nashville needs all the help they can get right now.
Like, at some point, they're probably going to move on from Saros and make Askarov the number one guy.
Within two seasons, I would assume.
Yeah. A lot of people, though, with these ideas of, you know, Boston acquiring Zegras, and I don't see any of them happening, but there were a couple that involved Detroit.
Okay.
And
there's already the U of M tie with Zegras and, of course, Larkin and Compher and all those cats.
Right. So to Detroit would be going Zegras in a third rounder. To Anaheim, Joe Valeno, a first-round pick, and you say this goddamn name because I'll be damned if I can pronounce it.
Simon Edvinson? Okay. Shai Boyumum?
Yeah, that guy.
Wow. I can't pronounce his name, so yeah, he gone.
I think Detroit says no to that. Like,
I mean,
or rather, Anaheim says no to that, because I don't think they're going to see that being enough value.
First round draft pick is that's going to be the real tasty nugget right there. I mean, I wouldn't want to see Joe Valeno go because I've been a big fan of him, but I would get it. I mean, if it was player for player, yeah, I guess with Zegras would be the way to go. But it's that first round draft pick, and we know Steve Yzerman, he is Scrooge McDuck when it comes to those draft picks. So,
right,
I don't see that happening.
Honestly, I think I think Anaheim could get more value for him elsewhere. So I don't think that deal they do. Now this other one, Trevor Zegras for Simon Edvinson, straight up. Do you think either of those teams? I think the Ducks would do that. I don't know if the Wings would.
I don't think Anaheim would. I mean, Zegras is a proven NHLer. He can put up the numbers. Edvinson is not really. He's been in the lineup and hasn't really forced anybody's hand to make him stay. It's never one of those things where Edvinson shows up and they're like, okay, well, there's just no way. He's playing too good. There's no way we can send him down. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. I don't know. I mean, it would have to they would have to sweeten up the pot a little bit.
I would think so. Like, I think Anaheim's going to want more for Zegras. I feel like they're going to get it from somebody, but I don't think I'd want to swap Edvinson for Zegras straight up. I'm just not that convinced that he's going to end up being, like, he's kind of a, you could argue he's kind of a one-dimensional player.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's a top center on what is a pretty bad team. He's had injury issues. You know, there's been a lot of kind of issues there. I mean, Edvinson, meanwhile, is NHL ready. But yet, the fact that we have to keep Jeff effing Petrie on the roster.
yeah, old Petrie.
Yeah, well, no, I am not.
It's fine, we'll send Petrie over there, too.
Not that I wouldn't want Zegras, but, like, there's a lot of rough edges that kind of got to be sanded off of his game.
Yeah, you can't really look at him. I mean, oh, well, you scored that Michigan lacrosse game. Well, nobody cares.
Yeah.
No. Eventually, I mean, yeah, it makes it for a good highlight reel, but how else is he? I mean, if he's injury prone, is, you know, there's a lot of what ifs. I mean, he's the number one center on Anaheim. Good for him. Look at the rest of that team. I could probably be number one center, and I don't even know how to skate.
That's also true. Like, it's not a high bar to surmount, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of trade scenarios. There's some people out there that are just going bonkers. There's a defenseman from St. Louis, Pajaro or something like that. They're talking about making trades for him, but I don't know. We do not know what is in Steve Yzerman's head. We can try. We can sure give it our best guess as to what he would do, but
I don't think that any of those deals would be something he'd consider.
No.
Zegras needs too much work yet for him to want to bring that on.
Yeah. I mean, Edvinson, he's done well in GR to the point where it's like, yeah, he might be... I don't think he's ready to call it good on him. Talking to Yzerman, I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just don't see... The Valeno and picked and, you know, this other kid, like, that would be a no-brainer of a deal for Detroit. The other one, I think, would take no brain in order to execute for on the part of the Wings.
Right. Well, we shall see. We still got... Get
us a defenseman. That's the thing I want.
Yeah, they really need to tighten up on defense. Not that they haven't looked good recently, but, yeah, I mean, they need to tighten up on defense. What's his face? Petrie, he's not cutting it, and some of the other.
I'd like to cut him.
Some of the other defensemen are just meh. They're just kind of there. I mean, we got some waiting in the wings, no pun intended, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, if Stevie is going to make a push for the playoffs and mortgage the future a little bit at the trade deadline, I want to see that defenseman.
Yeah, that's the thing I want more than anything is to shore up the defense. Like, call Calgary right now. Find out what it's going to take to get Chris Tanev or Noah Hanifin. Like, make the call. They're both, I believe, free agents at the end of the season. I think you can convince one of them to sign long-term here. Who says no? Here's David Kushner, your local alternative Solid State Radio. Real Big Fish, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we can finally actually talk about this. There's been a coaching change in New York. And I know normally that's not of much interest to the people who listen to a Michigan-based radio show.
Yeah. Everybody's like, why are you talking about the Islanders?
But trust me, this is going to make sense when I tell you who it is that's going to coach there.
Yeah, go ahead.
The new head coach of the New York Islanders. Well, I guess we'll start with the fact that they canned Lane Lambert, former Detroit Red Wing.
Yep, Lou Lamoriello. He has canned some of the best coaches in history. Pat Burns. He's Claude Julien. I mean, he's laid waste to a lot of NHL coaches.
Who did he just can over in New York? Now, was it Barry Trotz?
Yep.
Like, yeah, he's really just gone after some of the biggest names in hockey, really. Damn, and by gone after, I mean he's, like, sent them their walking papers.
Yep.
This time, though, he's outdone himself. Not necessarily by firing Lambert, which probably needed to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the Islanders are not good. Not on paper, not anywhere.
But rather by hiring Patrick Waugh as his next head coach.
Patrick Waugh is the head coach of the New York Islanders. What I mean, Lamoriello, if there's ever a sign of needing a welfare check, maybe to check him for dementia, this is it. So you go from all these high-end coaches, firing them along the way, and you bring in a guy whose NHL coaching experience is half a season.
With the team that he basically made the name for himself with.
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't make it happen for the Colorado Avalanche. Lamoriello was like,
well, one of his teammates as his GM.
Yeah.
With Joe Sakic as his general manager.
Yep.
Couldn't get it, could not get along.
Yep. So here we are. This, thank God I'm not an Islanders fan. This is going to be some good watching.
This for those of you who are not among the hockey elite like Adam here, this would be like if the Dallas Cowboys actually hired Bill Belichick to be their next head coach.
Yep.
These two cannot coexist in the same room. Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick cannot coexist in the same room. Lou Lamoriello and Patrick Waugh cannot coexist in the same effing room. There's no way.
Well, sounds like Patrick Waugh is talking a big game. Well, you know, I've had some humbling experiences. I've coached in juniors. I've coached in minors. And, you know, I'm working my way back up, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Does anyone actually believe that?
I don't even think Patrick Waugh does.
There's no way he does.
He's just like, oh, I'm, you know, one slip in the shower away from, you know, not having to worry about Lamorello. But it's,
yeah, he's 81 years old, 81. Man. Holy hell. I did not realize. I knew he was up there, but 81?
I mean, and what a beautiful bastard he is, man. Nobody can have jersey numbers over 30. Can't wear a beard. I mean, this guy. He's your general manager for the Islanders, and he is just a curmudgeon with a capital C.
Yeah.
And so now Patrick Roy is going to be the bench boss for that. I don't even think he lasts the. I don't think he'll last the season.
I tend not to think that either.
I mean, I can't remember which high-priced named coach Lamorello canned in New Jersey, but it was two games before the end of the season. Got rid of him and said, "I'm going to do it myself for two games."
Yeah. So it wasn't.
I want to say Robinson or.
It was Claude Julien.
Was it for?
Well, yeah. So Larry Robinson quit in like right before Christmas. Lamorello named himself the head coach, and then he hired Claude Julien. Then fired Julien and replaced him with himself again. that was three games left in the season. Second best record in the East.
Oh, this is going to be some good watching.
He canned Peter DeBoer. Replaced him with basically him and Scott Stevens and Adam Out.
I just think he wants to be the coach. He wants to be the coach, and so he just... looks like he was 5 minutes late for practice. Gone. See ya. I guess I'm going to name myself the interim coach.
But the weird thing is that he's not actually, like... He's done it. He's done that, but he's only coached for the first one was 50 games. It was like half the season. Then the other one was three games. Like, he could have kept himself on and not hired Claude Julien and chose not to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
That guy's got an attitude. Patrick Waugh has a famous attitude. I mean, how soon until Patrick Waugh just loses it and punches him right in his Lou Lamorello in his bird nose and just explodes his skull?
It you feel like it's gonna happen.
It will on live TV. Forget about Hard Knocks, okay? HBO needs to do this. I want to see like a reality show, Lamorello and Waugh.
That would be so great. I mean, you know who's going to come out winning because, again, he's an octogenarian, man. Like, it's not going to go well, no. I want to watch. Like, yeah, we do need Hard Knocks. Like, those two just screaming at each other and Waugh getting fired or storming off and quitting again.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. There's no way Waugh survives into the next season as the Islanders coach. There's no way.
Right. That's going to last. I give it till, I don't know, I give it 2 months.
That sounds about fair. And it's probably going to be 1 month where things are rocky on the Islander. On the island, we don't know what's going on. Lamorello and Patrick Waugh screaming at each other. We think we heard a switchblade. We're not sure. So... Also, another wonderful news, because we're not a fan of the team. Corey Perry is now an Edmonton Oiler.
He just keeps just bouncing around this league like crazy.
1 year, $775 million. Now, I don't know if that's prorated. I don't know if they're just paying, because he's only here for half a season.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're paying him the full $775 or half of that, but... Kenny Holland, he loves veterans. I heard that on the way in. He loves veterans. Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. He is so lost. He has no idea of any other hockey players unless one that were, you know, hot in the 2000s. After that, he is just...
it does seem that way, doesn't it?
Like, he's canceled all his subscriptions to Hockey News. He doesn't know how to use the internet. So he's like, Corey, that name sounds familiar. Mr. Holland, you realize Corey Perry was fired by the Blackhawks completely unreleased. He was released from his contract. Now the rumor is he was exposing himself at an Applebee's. But, I mean, take that for what it's worth. Holland's like, I don't care. Bring me Perry.
Is that serious? Like, we're never going to get to the bottom of this, are we?
We are,
I mean, because there was the rumor about, that Connor Bedard's mom has got it going on.
Yep.
And then there was something about Chelly's daughter or something.
Yep. And then there was another, he was hitting on one of the media people for the Blackhawks, yeah. But now the latest one is, and this is, you know, all third hand, but somebody's like, yeah, my aunt works at Applebee's and they were all there for the mother's trip. And Corey Perry was going up to like the punching bag machine thing. Like they got over at Cascade and Lounge.
Wait, they have a punching bag machine at Applebee's?
That's what they said.
I've maintained, just kind of a sidebar here.
Yeah.
The punching machine is the worst thing you can have in a bar.
It is.
It causes 90% of the fights on any given night at any bar that has one.
Wow. Especially when, like, Corey Perry, because apparently he took a swing at it, missed, and it fell down. He's like, you want to see a punching bag? And then he dropped his pants and to expose himself.
Oh, my God.
And then punched the bag, and he got top score.
Oh, wow. That's...
See, it's just a theory.
And not even a particularly believable one at that.
No, because I don't think I've ever seen an Applebee's with a punching bag.
Yeah. What Applebee's would, in their right mind, would have a punching bag?
Eating good in the neighborhood. Oh, my teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that was the latest theory. I don't think we're ever going to fully know what's going on.
Yeah, I tend to doubt it as well, unfortunately, which is a damn shame, because I would love to get to the bottom of that whole thing.
Yeah, what do you think a reasonable thing for Perry is for Edmonton? I mean, do you think he's going to amount to a hill of beans in Edmonton?
I tend to think not. Like, I think his days in this league are definitely coming to...
He's 37.
Yeah, so he's getting up there in age, man. Yep. He's been there in the league almost 20 years.
Yep.
This is year 19, as a matter of fact. He scored a whole 4 goals in 16 games with Chicago earlier this season.
Yep. And I was reminded of a beautiful stat that he had been to the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row and lost. 3 different teams, Tampa, Dallas, and Montreal, and couldn't get it done.
That's amazing, and, well, that's...
But he still has a Stanley Cup ring. He has a Hart Trophy. I mean, so he used to be good.
He did, but that used to be was a little ways ago now. Like,
he's a little far removed.
You might just say that. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Jim Blossom's at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Hey, look, someone else who's never been to Detroit is spouting off about the city I grew up in. This should be fun. Go ahead and take a listen to this from First Take this morning.
As a head coach, 20-7. He's turned that program around, and obviously you got to take that into consideration. Here's where it resonates for me, and it's just on a personal level, Shannon, Dio. Here's the deal. Detroit, phenomenal fan base.
Yeah.
Great city. Been through a lot. The downtown area, big time. The stadium, big time. But you go to other outskirts of the Detroit area, it looks like a damn desert town. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering how the hell people making money. It looks like a desert town. I'm just looking at it and I'm like, what the hell is going on in this city? And then you see the Detroit Lions coming up and sort of reviving, just giving. They were on a respirator, for crying out loud, just as a city. And what this franchise has done for that city and that state, I mean, it's you gotta go there. to see what I'm talking about. Because when you get away from the downtown area and when you get away from the arena, from the stadium, and then you're just driving around. I mean, it's different, man. It's different. And so to know and to see the kind of impact this is having, Lamar is Lamar. That is a spectacular story. And I'm hoping he makes the Super Bowl. And that will be something special, Shannon. And you're right. But right now, seeing what Detroit was and what it has been revived into, knowing that the Lions have everything to do with that, it extends beyond football and it extends beyond the individual. And that's where I'm coming from with it.
So he's saying it looks like trash outside of the downtown area, but the Lions made it look better.
Yeah, I missed that. Backpedaled. The Detroit Lions just came in there and made the town like look less like trash or whatever the hell you want to say. Now, maybe I take these things a little bit personally as someone who was born in Detroit, whose family lived in Detroit for a great many years, yep, who spent the first decade plus of his life in the Motor City. And I see these things and I go, clearly, these are the words of people who don't spend time here, who haven't been here, for whom Detroit is just another place we fly over on our way from New York to LA.
Right.
And this is the thing that gets me, because you can make an argument for every major metropolitan area that there is areas like this. Like, you know who else probably doesn't look so great outside of the downtown area where there's issues outside of their downtown? Chicago. St. Louis, Baltimore,
Washington, D.C.,
New York City, Philadelphia, literally every major metropolitan city.
Hollywood, everybody talks about the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. People have said who've been there said it's trash.
Yeah, you get just outside of. Yeah, it's funny. You look at, Detroit's like fourth on the list of, highest, murder rates per capita or whatever. There's three teams above us that have NFL franchises. In fact, every city in the top 10 has an NFL franchise with the exception of Memphis and Newark. But, I mean, basically all of your New Jersey teams, or your New York teams are New Jersey teams, so whatever.
Correct.
They all play there, so screw it.
Correct.
Like, people will be surprised just how the high crime rate is in, say, Milwaukee, for instance. Yet everyone picks on Chicago because, them damn libs are destroying the country and high crime and all that, all this nonsense. You look further north and, a city where basically they're known for beer. It turns out, a lot of violent crime going on there, too.
Sure.
But, Detroit's the one that gets picked on. Detroit's the one that always makes the jokes on late night TV because we're the fashionable one to make fun of.
Yes.
Like, get your own house in order before you start coming after us.
Exactly. It used to be New Jersey for the longest time.
I wouldn't mind if you went back to that.
Well, then I'm sure there's a lot of people who work in waste management in New Jersey paid the Jay Leno's a visit.
Right.
And next thing you know, all right, talk about Detroit. Wait for laughter. But yeah, Detroit has been low-hanging fruit. And the liberals, the conservatives, they all could agree on, let's all just make fun of Detroit.
They can all agree on Detroit sucks.
Yeah, well, Detroit, we got a Super Bowl. We got an NFL draft coming up. We're doing all right. There's been a lot of improvement in Detroit. And, I've been to Washington, D.C., where, you got a lot of American history and, the president lives there and blah, blah, blah. You go one block this way, it's homeless people. It's tore down buildings. I mean, there's trash in our nation's capital.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, oh, you're from Detroit. Oh, you've been shot at, haven't you? I was like, what? No, I've been to Detroit many times. I didn't die once.
Right, and I don't, and when I go to Detroit, I don't necessarily always hang out just in the downtown. I mean, there's a lot of cool things in the downtown, chief among them, the greatest wings on this planet or any other.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I venture plenty outside there. Like, the wife and I went to a rather nice dinner in my old neighborhood in southwest Detroit, this absolutely fantastic Mexican steakhouse, if you ever have the chance to go to.
Mexican steakhouse. I can't say I've ever been to a Mexican steakhouse.
You need to. You absolutely need this in your life. I mean, I wouldn't do this because they're not paying me to advertise for them, but I don't care because they're in my old neighborhood, so it's not like they're going to anyway. If you ever have the chance to go to El Asador Steakhouse, like, you didn't think you needed steak that was cooked and marinated with like salsa on it. You didn't realize you needed this until you actually go there and get it. Don't knock it until you try it, man. I'm just saying. Like, there are so many cool places. My favorite bar possibly in this world or any other is located in southwest Detroit, about a couple miles away from there, a little place called Abix Bar that is absolutely probably my favorite. Like, has the best Manhattan I've ever had that wasn't made by our own colleague, Lapeer Main Street manager, James Ald.
Yeah.
Like, just a cool little hangout tucked away in this neighborhood, and there's a Mexican bar like a couple blocks down the street from there that has the best pina coladas you'll ever have in your life. Man, like, I can't, like, stress this enough to people. Like, if you just hang out in the safe, like, the touristy, like, places, like, the downtown, like, you're missing out on a lot of cool stuff by, like, being scared of anything that's outside of the 3 miles it is downtown, man.
Yes.
There are so many cool places that really everyone's scared to go because, oh, my God, you're hanging out in that neighborhood? That's just nothing but crime out there. It's not dangerous. It's not safe to go there. Like,
yeah.
You know, as it turns out, if you go a lot of places and don't act like a moron from out of town, like, you're going to be left alone most of the time.
Most of the time, yep.
Like, New Orleans.
That's everywhere.
It is. Like, we went to New Orleans, like, back in November. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you don't go just stumbling around looking like a drunk moron that doesn't belong here or know what he's doing, you're going to be fine. You're going to be, for the most part, left alone. Like, it comes back to something that I've said a lot on this show and elsewhere that we've told a couple stories of the sort. Act like you belong here. Look like you're supposed to be there, and you're not going to get messed with.
Right.
That's traditionally how that works in most places you go.
Yeah, don't be that one tourist. Like, you guys actually live here? Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, like, you're now asking to be jumped the second you walk outside the place you're at. You do that, just warning you now.
Yep.
But it's why these things from the screaming A. Smiths of the world just kind of get to me, man. Because, clearly, it comes from a place of ignorance, of not actually being here and spending time here. Because if you actually did, you would know that, good Lord, we're not in effing Baghdad, for Christ's sake. That's my rant, man.
Yep,
it's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hours. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Monday afternoon. But don't worry, a full hour of local, original, Michigan-made music will be assaulting your eardrums next. A little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.